Open your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 17 through 32 in just a moment. This is the second message in the series that I started a couple of weeks ago. Last week we had a guest speaker in this service about why Jesus. I run into people on a regular basis, and we talk to them about faith and talk to them about their spiritual lives, and finally, they really get down to the most basic question. Why Jesus? Why should I choose Christianity amongst all the competing religions? And this is not a series of messages on comparative religion. Not at all. But this is about Christianity. And why Christ makes a difference. The differences that Jesus makes. In the first message a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the new relationship we have with God. And that is the primary purpose of Jesus' advent, so we could have a new relationship with God. The relationship that we severed with Him when we chose to sin against Him. Him and His holiness and His righteousness. And then Him extending His grace and His mercy through His Son, so that we could renew that relationship He had created for us to have from the very beginning. Now, that's enough. But wait, there's more. You see, our relationship with God, when that changes, it changes everything in our lives. And it's, you know, I adopted this saying around here in Boyd Avenue a few years ago. when we were remodeling this room and doing a few other alterations around the thing, you know, Baptists don't really relate well to change. So I began to tell people, no, at Boyd Avenue, we don't change anything. We just improve. These are improvements. They aren't changes. Kind of both, but that's the politically correct way of saying that. And so it is with Christ. He changes everything in our lives. He changes every relationship we have, from our most personal to our most distant, even in relationships that we don't know we have, all of those things. And they're not just changed, they are improved. Today, I want us to talk about, actually, the relationship we have with ourselves. Sometimes, and oftentimes, people just get tired of life struggles. And when they're really tired of life struggles, what it really boils down to, they're just tired of themselves. I am amazed when I, you know, work with people in enough different ways and enough different settings, how much self-loathing there is, how people do things. Sometimes these are things that happened years and years, a generation ago, and it's still haunting them in their lives, and they're still upset, and they're still guilty, and they're still angry about themselves, over themselves. And then if somebody else has done something against them, they're still angry and it still is haunting them. And these things are changed in Christ. These are improved. These are transitioned. Why? Because we view life differently. When our relationship with God is restored back to its original intent, when He is our God and we are His creation, when we love Him just because He is and He loves us just because we are, and that's the way He plans it, then everything comes into focus and we can see things better. When I was 24 years old, I almost failed an eye test to get a driver's license in Texas. And the guy told me, your eyes are going bad. So I went to see an optometrist and he checked my eyes. And he gave me, not these, 24 has been a few years ago. He gave me something similar to these. They're called eyeglasses. And when I put them on, he said, you're going to have to adjust to them. It's going to be different. But I put them on and suddenly life was in focus again. It had been in focus and it had gotten out of focus and I didn't notice it. But when I put on those glasses, I could see life again. And it was in focus and it was good. And so it is with Christ. When He comes into our lives, life comes in focus. Our vision changes. We see things differently. Our perception is different. And it begins with the perception we have of God and the perception we have of ourselves. And it is that perception that we're going to look at this morning. So read with me now, if you will, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 32. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you learned about the Messiah, assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. You put on a new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and the purity of the truth. Since you put away lying, speak truth to each other and to his neighbor, because you are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands, though he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up of someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. All bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Now here is this passage, Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, speaking to a group of Christians, and he is saying, things are different now that you have come to Christ. Here is the new way of seeing life. First of all, he points out that Christians view life differently than before we believe. Look at verses 22 and 23. You took off your former way of life, the old self that was corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed by the Spirit of your minds. And this is a very simple transition, or it's not simple, it's a traumatic transition that takes place when Christ comes into our life, when we exercise that faith, when we choose to believe that He is a resurrected Christ, when we embrace the supernatural truth that Christ was alive, He died on a cross, and God raised Him from the dead for the redemption of our sin. When we come to that place, the reality happens is that our lives are changed. We are changed, and life is different. We see life differently. Everything before Christ came, everything was about self. Everything was about me. Do we not teach our children? Won't you just take care of number one? Usually we tell them that when we don't want to be tattletales. But we say, oh, you need to take care of number one. And who's number one? I'm number one, obviously. I mean, that's the way we view it. All of us view it that way. We are naturally self-preserving. When babies cry, what are they crying about? Who knows? But they know. And they're the only ones who know. I mean, if they're hungry, they'll let you know. If they're slimy, they'll let you know. If something is wrong in their life, they will let you know. And it's up to us as adults to try to figure that out. And that's fine when you're, you know, when you're a tiny little thing. But then they become children. Then they become adolescents. Then they become young adults. Then they become adults. And when an adult in my age bracket still has the same attitude as an infant, that's all about me, that's a problem. But that's the way we are. That's the way all of us are. That's the way all of us were before Christ came in and makes a transition. It's all about me. And that's natural. That's the way we are. That's the way natural man is. We're attached to ourselves. I love myself. I don't know what I would do without me. I mean, this is the way we view life. But that's the way it is before Christ. Now, the problem with that is we tend to have that infantile attitude. And if something is wrong in my life, then I have to make everybody else around me miserable so they can attain and come to take care of my needs. Because let's face it, my needs are more important than your needs. And that is the way everybody views life when we are walking in our natural state. Now, when Christ comes in, we start viewing things differently. Look at verse 28. And I picked this one out of a series that I could have picked from, but this was my favorite one. The thief must no longer steal, as if the Bible needs to tell. I mean, it goes back to the Old Testament. The Bible tells us we're not supposed to steal. Now, in Christ, the thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands. Why? So that he has something to share with anyone in need. You see the dramatic transition. Let me ask you a question. Why do thieves steal? Well, if they don't steal, then they're not thieves, so that's how they become who they are. But a thief steals. Now, what motivates a thief to steal? If I am going to become a thief, I am going to steal because I am going to observe something that you have that I desire. And I am too self-imposed to work it and get something similar. I want what you have. And so, since I am the center of existence, and so everything is about me, and what I want is more important than what you have, then as a thief, as a person in my natural state, I have every right and privilege and even should be motivated to find some way of appropriating that which you have that I want. And it doesn't matter if it's by hook or crook. As long as I get what I want. Again, when a baby is hungry, he doesn't care where the food comes from. He just wants his food. And that's the way we are apart from Christ. It doesn't matter where our desires are filled from. We just want our desires filled. And it doesn't matter what the desire is. Just pick a desire. It can be anything. But if we are the center, and that's the way it is. And he says here, in Christ, thieves don't steal anymore. And they don't give up stealing because the Bible tells them not to steal. They don't give up stealing because of a legalistic reason. They give up stealing because their view of humanity has changed. No longer in Christ, no longer am I the center of the universe. Now, if I'm going to be as Jesus was, if I'm going to be a Christian, a Christ-like being, then I must be like him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus was the servant. Jesus spent his entire ministry with the 12 knotheads that we call disciples. He spent his entire ministry trying to convince them that they were to become servants. Their greatest conflict amongst themselves, the inter-apostle conflict, was who of them was the greatest apostle. They kept elbowing each other out of the way. They kept trying to get to the front of the line. Two of them, brothers, even got mom to go and ask Jesus, would you go ahead and make my sons number one and number two in your kingdom? Interestingly, she didn't name which one should be which, but that was what it was. And the other apostles were angry when they heard about that. And they weren't mad because of the question. They were mad because they wanted the position. And Jesus says, guys, don't you understand? That's not what it's about. Even on the night of his betrayal, the last night before his crucifixion, the time he instituted this event we call the Last Supper, Communion, the Lord's Supper, even on that night, they are still arguing over who is the greatest. And then Jesus washes their feet to demonstrate that the greatest is the servant. And that is completely antithetical to the concept of humanity. That is 180 degrees away from where we are before Christ. Our view before Christ is that I am the center of the world. And now after Christ, our view changes. And we see everyone differently. No longer when I look at something you have and I covet that which you have, no longer is it available to me for me to take it and get it by hook or crook. Now I glory in what you have, and I'm excited that you have that. And if I, instead of stealing from you, now my responsibility is to get a job. I mean, isn't that what we tell people? Just get a job. And why should we get a job? So I can earn money, so I can have means, so I can have treasure to invest in other people, to give to anyone in need. That is what the scripture says. Now think about that transition. Think about the mindset. Think about the repentance that has to take place in the individual's heart. Now instead of being a thief who sees it absolutely right and just for me to take from you whatever I want because I want it, now I work hard and I earn money so that I can give away my treasure to someone else for their benefit. Why? Because they're important. Their need is more important than mine. Their need is more vital than my need. And that is the transition that Jesus makes. It changes us forever. It changes our view. It changes our perspective. It changes our committing. Because now we work so that we can be a blessing. Think about that. Why do you work? Why are you going to get up tomorrow morning and go to your job? You going to do that so you can pay your mortgage? Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Are you going to do that so you can buy groceries to feed your family? Yes, I have learned that a well-fed wife is easier to get along with than a hungry wife. And it's true about her husband as well. All of these things are true. That's better for us. But also, do we attain treasure so we can look at other people? People we know, people we don't know. Who knows who we're going to meet this week who could be blessed by the product of my labor? That I could take some of my treasure and I could share with them. Why? Just because they need it. They can't pay me back. They'll never pay me back. I'm not building up those kind of treasures. I'm building up something else. And that is a difference that comes only in Christ. And if you're a Christian, you understand what I'm saying. If you are still struggling with that decision about whether to become a Christian or not, or whether to be fully involved in the Spirit of God or not, this is a difference that will happen. And you will see life and you will see people dramatically differently because we view others in the same way that God views them. Look down at verse 32. And be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, right before this, if you look at the verses just before this that I read, he's telling you, a whole bunch of stuff not to do. Then he says, but be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. And actually, if we will do 32, we don't have to worry about 31. Okay? We don't have to worry about being bitter and angry and wrathful and shouting and slander and removing these things from us. Why? Because they won't exist in us anymore. Why? Because kindness and compassion has taken their place. You cannot, on one hand, be kind and compassionate at the same time with the other hand, be angry and full of maliciousness. The two are incompatible. They will not coexist. One will push the other out. And it's our job as Christians to have our kindness and compassion to push out our anger and slander. That's our job. That's what we do. Not only when we do that, we will find that kindness and compassion is far more pleasant than anger. If you don't believe me, do an experiment. Next time you're at Walmart and you're waiting in line to be checked out, if we will stand there, instead of becoming angry and frustrated, if we will, by the power of our will, which we can do, become kind and compassionate, and if we will encourage those around us in the same way, we will find that that experience is far more pleasant. And I only use Walmart as an example. You can use any other place and find the same thing to be true. But it is part of the Christian life. And why do we do that? Because we want to. And we will find that it is a far more pleasant lifestyle. We will find that it is a vast improvement over the way things were and how things they can be. But that does not come from within us. That comes when the Spirit of God supersedes our spirit. That comes when we are transitioned, when we are changed by the presence of God. And He brings these improvements into our lives. And I encourage you, if you are tired of the garbage of life, if you are tired of the frustration, if you are tired of the pressure, if you're tired waking up every morning and going, oh, I have to go to work again, or I have to go and see this person again, or I have to do that. If you are tired of that frustration, I promise you, upon the authority of God's word, He has a better way. And it begins with Christ. Our relationship with God, when it is fixed first, then these other relationships will fall into line. But it takes discipline, it takes commitment, it takes courage. It takes the presence of the Holy Spirit to make these things work. And it's important that we remember that. Why? Because Jesus matters. Jesus changes us. Jesus improves us because He takes us back to what we were created to be.
Just as I am without one thing but that come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.